Welcome to an ElmQuest presentation. Self-image psychology, presented by Yasser Fazica. Part 2.
In the hadith of Abu Hurairah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whenever a group of people they get together and they come into a house of the houses of Allah, meaning a masjid, discussing the book of Allah and reciting it amongst themselves, four things are going to happen to them. Tranquility is going to descend upon the gathering. The angels are going to surround them. The mercy of Allah is going to envelop them. And Allah will make a mention of them. Every time you come in to any of these gatherings, you would walk out with all of these things, subhanAllah. Okay? So inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who will receive the tranquility and be enveloped by His mercy, surrounded by the angels, and also mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This section, inshallah, there is one of the characters of a Muslim that is extremely, extremely important, especially around this time. And this character is what we call at-tafa'ul, or optimism. See, subhanAllah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-fa'lu husnul khuluq. He said to be optimistic is the best of characters. Wash-shu'm husnul khuluq. And to be pessimistic is the worst of characters. And optimism is not when everything is good. What does it say, hunky-dory? That's not when you want to be optimistic. It does not take a genius to be optimistic at that time, when everything is going well and fine and dandy, alhamdulillah. That's not where optimism is needed. Optimism is the ability to see light at the end of the tunnel. Optimism is being able to go beyond all these problems instead of calling them obstacles. Or like they say, if you only see obstacles and problems, you have lost sight of your goal. You're being so blinded by what is happening right now. So, optimism is the ability to see the problems, but still, you can still see the goal that you are after. And that's what we need at this point. And subhanAllah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has always taught us this. No matter how bad things were, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would always see the best in it. You know how they say in psychology, you can know whether a person is optimistic or pessimistic if you ask them, give them a cup that has something in it, milk, and then you ask, what do you see? And if they say it's half full, they're optimistic. And then if they say it's half empty, they are pessimistic. Now here's Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To him, the glass was always, always half full. Always half full. Listen to this. Aisha once asks the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Prophet of Allah, what is the most difficult day that you can remember in your life? What is the most difficult day? What does the Prophet ﷺ say? It was when I lost Khadija. It was when I lost my son. It was when I lost this. See what Muhammad ﷺ said. He said it was the day when I went to Ta'if to give them da'wah, share with them the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when I got there, they were so disrespectful that they sent their mentally retarded and their kids, and they started throwing stones at me. The ultimate insult. He came back and he said, I didn't even know where I was going until I got to a place called Qarn al-Fa'alib, about 25 kilometers away from where he was. He said, I was just walking, not knowing where I was aiming, until I got to this place, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel, sent an angel to me. And then he said, Oh Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, these people are coming back. What do you want me to do? I am the angel that is in charge of the mountains. I can take care of them. If you wish, I can just go ahead and crush them between these two mountains, because Mecca was in between two mountains. They have done the ultimate insult, not to anyone, but to a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Yeah, go for it. They deserve it. He said, La. He said, no, don't do that. That's not what I'm here for. So what does he say? لَعَلَّ يَخْرُجُ مِنْ أَصْلَابِهِمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. He said, maybe, don't do that, don't do this. He said, maybe of their offsprings would come someone that says, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Now, wait a minute. How do you know you're going to live for that long? How do you know that the, you know there is someone that is? But see, it's the ability of just going way beyond the immediate and recognizing that, you know, today is today, tomorrow is tomorrow, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that was the ability of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay? And subhanAllah, in that same incident, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so tired that a non-Muslim, I think it was Al-Walid, he felt so sorry for him that he sent his servant, he said, Muhammad looks bad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why don't you give him water and take some food for him? His name was Addas. So Addas goes there with food and water and he gives it to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks, what's your name? He says, my name is Addas. He says, Addas, where are you from? He said, oh, I am from Nineveh. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, subhanallah, the land of my brother Yunus alayhi salam. And then Addas goes, you know Yunus? You've heard of Yunus? The Prophet ﷺ said, of course. Yunus alayhi salam, you know how all the Prophet ﷺ said that all the messengers of Allah are like brothers, where they all have the same father but different mothers, meaning that they all came down with the same message, but with different legislations. And he explains to Addas what's happening. And Al-Walid, someone that truly hates Muhammad ﷺ. But the Prophet ﷺ was such in a bad shape that he felt sorry for him. He sees this dialogue going on between Addas and Muhammad ﷺ. He doesn't know what's happening, he can see, but he's not. And then all of a sudden something funny happens. Addas gets up and kisses Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the forehead, between his eyes. Now to the Arab, kissing someone on the forehead, that is the ultimate way of showing respect. And he says, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And of course Al-Walid ibn Aqba regrets that day he sent Addas to give anything to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? Or not only that, but subhanAllah, you know, this issue has got to do so much with perception. How do you choose to see things? Really, how do you see things? And for us Muslims, the mirror that we use or the skepticals that we use are very different. And here is what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One time he visits a man who was not feeling very well. He had fever. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants, he goes there and he wants to visit him. And he says, "La ba'sa alayka tahurun insha'Allah." And this is a dua that you say to a person who is not feeling well. So he, when you go and you visit a person, you're supposed to say a dua for them when they're sick. You say, "La ba'sa alayka." La ba'sa alayka is something like, get well or be well, tahurun insha'Allah. May Allah make it purification for you. Because whatever calamity a Muslim goes through, it is a way of purification. You lose your job, whatever it is, if you show patience and contentment with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is a form of purification. So the Prophet goes there and he's giving him good words, you know, to make you feel good. And by the way, sharing condolences with people is one of the most beautiful merits that Islam teaches. And again, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was best at it. You know, at the end of the battle of Mu'tah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, would tell us to condole people. And he said that whoever condoles a person, and that person receives patience, or you know, you make them feel better. He said, whatever amount of patience that they exert, these people they show, that you are equally being rewarded for words that you share with them. So here comes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just to give you an example of how he would condole people. Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, his cousin is dead. He's killed in the battle of Mu'tah. So he comes, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees and greets the children of Ja'far, gets down on his knees, and he is hugging them and kissing them, and he is crying. Here comes his wife, and she says, Ya Rasulullah, ماذا عن Ja'far? She said, Prophet of Allah, what happened to Ja'far? And the person is crying, and he is kissing and hugging the babies, and he is crying. And again she asks, Prophet of Allah, what happened to Ja'far? And she can almost tell that the Prophet is not saying anything back, that Ja'far has been dead. So what does she say? Ya Rasulullah, من لهؤلاء الأيتام? She is like enumerating what is going, how life is going to look like after Ja'far. And what does she say? Oh Prophet of Allah, what about, alaykum salam. She said, oh Prophet of Allah, what about these orphans? What's going to happen to them? What does the Prophet say? He says, Al yutma takhafi alayhim. He said to her, do you fear for them that they end up orphans? Wallahi inni abuhum min ba'di abihim. I swear by Allah that from now on I am their father after their father. Imagine Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam coming to you and says, from now on, don't worry about your children. I am their father from this point. So how he, I mean, can you imagine the amount of peace that was instilled to that woman by these statements that were made by Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So anyways, he visits the man and he says, you know, لا بأس عليك طهور إنشاءالله. May you get well and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify you by what you're going through. So what does the man say? لا يا رسول الله. نهي Prophet of Allah. That was good. He says, oh no, Prophet of Allah. Okay? He says, oh no, Prophet of Allah. He said, إنما هي حمى تفور. He said, this is a boiling fever. في شيخ كبير. In a body of an old man. لتسكنه القبور. That will probably take him to the grave. What does the Prophet say? Listen to this. The Prophet said, you know, get well. May Allah purify. What does he say? He said, no, this is a boiling fever in the body of an old man and that will surely take him to the grave. What does the Prophet say? He says, إذن هي كذلك. He said, if this is how you perceive of it to be, then be it as you perceive of it to be. Here I come and I give the option. You are already in the difficulty. There is nothing that can be done about it. But you can say, Allah is purifying me. And may I get better. But no, it's fever, it's this. So the Prophet ﷺ said, it is as you perceive of it. If this is how you see it, then be it like you see it. So now the question is, the ability. You know, and this again, this is not a recommendation that Islam gives. Rather, this is an obligation. Being optimistic in Islam is an obligation. Here comes Isa alayhi salam, our beloved Prophet Isa, peace be upon him. Jesus. One day he's walking with his companions and they see a dead dog. They see it and they said, Ma anta la rihahu. They said, it stinks. And another one says, it smells bad. Another one says, it looks bad. Another one says, Isa alayhi salam looks at it and he says, Subhanallah, ma abiyada asnanahu. Glorified be Allah. He's got such white teeth. And then said, Ya Rasulullah, innahu kalbun mayyit. Said, Prophet of Allah, he is a dead dog. So Isa alayhi salam, what does he say? He says, Ra'aytum aswa ma fihi wa takallamtum. Wa ra'aytu ahsana ma fihi wa takallam. He said, you saw the worst and you spoke, and I saw the best and I spoke. What is happening here? But you could have seen the dead dog, you could have seen stinking, and you could have, but wait a minute. Isa alayhi salam said, there is another option. I saw the white teeth. And subhanAllah, they were so white. See, subhanAllah, the way we illustrate optimism in Islam is not only in just during difficult, just all the time, this is the character that you take with you. During the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, you know, the people of Quraysh are sending delegations to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting, waiting for the delegations to come. And he asks, who's coming on behalf of Quraysh to come and talk to us? And they said, Prophet Allah, it is Suhail. Suhail that is coming. Now, Suhail is an Arabic term, very beautiful name that is derived from the root verb sahala, which means easy path, which means relief. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Suhail, sahalallahu amrana. He said, if Suhail is coming, then may Allah make our amr, our matter, our affair sahal, easy as well. So just by the name, the Prophet ﷺ was supposed to say, you know what? This looks good. It sounds good. Alhamdulillah. Allah sent someone, Suhail, may Allah make the issue sahal for us. And also remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assured us in the Quran, إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. He said, indeed with every difficulty, there is going to be a relief. Indeed, with every difficulty, there is going to be a relief. Now, here is the beauty of the ayah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wallahi la yaghlibu usrun yusrain." He said that one difficulty cannot overcome two reliefs. What he meant is that in Arabic we have the defining article al, the. So he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "With the difficulty, there is ease." Okay, with the difficulty, there is ease. It means that the difficulty is one, but the ease are numerous, because they were not defined. You know, like how we say to someone, Jazakallahu khayran. You know, when someone does you a favor, like the Prophet ﷺ said, Man sana'a lakum ma'rufan, faquluhu, that whenever people do you a favor, the best way to repay them back is to say, Jazakallahu khayr. May Allah reward you with khayr. Now, what does khayr mean in Arabic? Goodness. You could have said, may Allah give you health. Health is good, but maybe this is not what he is missing. Or you say, may Allah give you money, wealth. But maybe this is not what he needs at this point in his life. So you say, may Allah give you goodness as he sees fit to your situation. Do you see the idea now? So when I say, Jazakallah khair, Allah knows what is khair for you. Allah knows what is good for you, and may Allah give you that good. because it was not defined with Al. Subhanallah, did you know in Islam, telling a joke is actually an act of worship? You get rewarded for telling a joke. The Prophet ﷺ was once approached by a man. He said, Ya Rasulullah, ma ahabbul a'mali illallah. What is the most beloved deed to Allah? What does Muhammad ﷺ said? Idkhalu sururi ila qalbi mri'in muslim. He said to bring joy into the heart of a believer. Now, how do you bring joy into the heart of a believer? You can give them money, you can do so many things. You can also tell them a joke. And once they laugh, you know what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say? Adhak Allahu sinnak. May Allah always keep your teeth exposed, meaning that they're always smiling. You see what's happening here? Even subhanallah, just the way Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke, it was always an indication of optimism. He wakes up in the morning, and what is the very first thing that he says? What is the very first thing that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say when he wakes up in the morning? Alhamdulillah. Alladhi ahyana. All praise is due to Allah who gave us life back. So to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a day is something, you know, an extra day from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something to be thankful for. Alhamdulillah. Not only that, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would, at the very end of the night, when he goes to bed, what is the very last thing that he would say? He would say, Alhamdulillah alladhi awana wa at'amana وَسَقَانَ فَكَمْ مِمَّنْ لَا مُؤْوِيَ لَهُ وَلَا كَافٍ. He would say, Alhamdulillah, that fed us. Alhamdulillah, that sheltered us. Alhamdulillah, that has sufficed us. For many are going to spend the night with no shelter. They're going to spend the night with no food and with no one to suffice them. See, what happens is that we live in a time and in a society, there is just so much emphasis placed on material gain that people no longer enjoy the simple things in life. You overlook the simple things in life. You don't see joy in them. But Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, it's a shelter. It may not be the big 7 acres house, but alhamdulillah, it's a shelter. Knowing that others do not have what I have at this point. I ate, you know, maybe it was not a decent meal, but I feel so much better, alhamdulillah, that others maybe they didn't. So life is made of simple things. And if you, subhanallah, you know, and they say that the best things in life are what? Are not things. The best things in life are not things. But today we are after things. And even as we are after them, we're not really getting any of it. We told that, you know, the better, the more the better. And look, until we have more, but we have less. We've got more food, less nutrition. We've got more medication and less wellness. We've got everyone has and is dreaming of building a house, but no one is building a home. We all want to make a living. No one cares to make a life. We have conveniences, but we don't have any time. 100 years, I think I said this last night, the past 100 years, all the inventions that we made were time-saving devices. Microwaves, toasters, coffee makers, digital coffee makers. You know, wake up in the morning and they're there because you don't want to stand and what have you. Got a question to ask. Where is the time that we saved? There is more into life than just increasing the speed of life. I don't think we saved time. I think we just rushed ourselves. And in the midst of doing so, people lose vision of what is important in life. And as a result, we become so occupied with wanting the big things in life that we no longer appreciate simple things in life. Let me ask you this question. When was the last time you tasted your food? Not when was the last time you ate your food, tasted your food. Like you, in the Quran, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِهِ. So doesn't man, nazara means to either look or ponder or consider what he eats. He said, أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِهِ. Does man not take the time to look, consider, ponder upon what he is eating? You know, and we eat breakfast while you're driving. You know, lunch again while you're driving. Dinner while you're watching TV. You're not really, you know, it's just, subhanAllah, that's not even called, it's just the mechanical eating. You know, but that's not the Quran wants you to, you know, get out of this. There's more into it than just, you know, swallowing it. So, like I said, we have lost vision of what is important in life. We are so occupied with big things to happen. What happens is, inshallah, I'll be happy when I get my promotion. How many times are you going to be promoted? Every day? That's impossible, actually. Unless you own the business, give yourself a promotion every day. Every month? Well, how often do promotions happen? You know, once a year? So are you telling me that you are limiting your happiness to once a year? Because that's when you decide that you're going to be happy? Inshallah, I promise myself, I'll be happy when we move to the bigger house. There is always a bigger house. How often do you do this? Inshallah, I'll be happy, inshallah, when I get the new car. Well, how often does that happen? So what we have done is that we have defined happiness with material gain. And unless we get it, then we have actually shrunk our chances of happiness. Because to us from now on, happiness is about material possession, material, bring this and bring that. You know, they have a story about this guy in Maine. He was a fisherman, fish lobster, and then sells it in the market. Had a very, you know, nice house by a lake. So one day he's sitting by his house by the lake. This, you know, MBA Harvard graduate kid comes by and he goes, sir, what do you do? You know the story? Can you promise to laugh anyways?
Yes.
Okay. So he comes in and he says, sir, what do you do? He said, you know, I am a fisherman. You know, I fish for about 5 hours a day. Then I take what I fish to the market. I sell it. Then I come back, have lunch with my kids and spend some of the afternoon with them. In the evening, I go to the coffee shop, hang around with my friends. Then come back, have dinner with my kids. You know, watch a little TV and I go to sleep. And the next day, same thing happens. So this MBA Harvard graduate looks at him and goes, man, you are doing it all wrong. So he said, what am I supposed to do? He said, well, see, you're only working 5 hours a day. You need to be putting more hours, 12, 14 hours a day. This way you catch a lot more lobster. You go and you sell. You've got a lot more money. And this way you can hire people to work for you. Which means that now there won't only be you fishing, but others are going to be fishing for you. So now you've got a lot more money. And now you don't only sell to the people in Maine. You move beyond Maine. You sell to the people in Philadelphia, in New Jersey, in Delaware. You sell to the people of Vermont, in New England, in Massachusetts. I can go on, by the way. And you sell to the people, because you become the biggest lobster distributor in the East Coast. He goes, and then what do I do? He said, well, then you grow big. You go public. What does that mean? And he explains, you know, what being public means. And then he goes, you sell your lobster all the way out to L.A., you sell it all the way out to San Francisco, San Diego, all the West Coast, and what have you. So the man said, and how long is this going to take me? He said, well, it shouldn't take you more than about 14, 15 years. So he said, and then what do I do? He said, then you come back to Maine, get yourself a little house by the lake, where you only work for 4 or 5 hours a day, have lunch with your children. Maybe in the evening you hang around with your friends. But do you see what's happening? Do you really see what's happening? So you are doing one thing, and now for 15 years you want to go, so that you end doing what you... But isn't that how life is nowadays? Well, you know, we laugh about it, but it's very sad. That's how most people conduct, you know, our lives. And subhanAllah, that's, you know, yani, that is not befitting to a Muslim. You know, material gain, and please don't get me wrong. You know, I'm not saying to not be successful or material gain is wrong, but it should not be the focal point of your life. And life is difficult, but what makes it, subhanAllah, what makes it beautiful is your perception of it. How you choose to see it. And the Prophet ﷺ taught us that to be optimistic is the best character that a Muslim can have. SubhanAllah, look into this. You see Musa ﷺ, the Pharaoh is going around killing babies left and right. And his mother is just so afraid for this baby. What does she do? Place him in a basket, put him by the rib. This is catastrophe. Ask any mother to do this to her baby. What are the chances of a baby surviving in these circumstances? Put them in a basket and just send them down by the stream? SubhanAllah. Why is she doing this? So that Musa alayhi salam would not be caught by the Pharaoh. And then what happens? Musa is caught by the Pharaoh. Well, how does this look? It looks terrible. It's awful. That's exactly what we were trying to avoid. And now Musa alayhi salam is raised by the Pharaoh. You look into Yusuf alayhi salam, a prophet of Allah, is placed in prison for about 7 years. A prophet of Allah is placed in prison with the thugs and the crooks and the murderers. This is not where a prophet of Allah belongs. And you say that's a catastrophe for Yusuf alayhi salam. But he walks out as the minister of finance. Isn't that what happened with Yusuf alayhi salam? And you go on with the rest of the stories of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Initially, it looks terrible and horrible. But then subhanallah, that's not how you look into things. You must always be able to see the bigger picture of what is happening. Baghdad, about 700 years ago, wasn't it sacked by the Maghul? They came in and they slaughtered people so bad. They slaughtered that they, in some narrations they said that over 30,000 people were killed in one day. You know, there were such big, rich libraries in Baghdad. They took and they threw in the Euphrates. The color of the water changed to blue because of the amount of ink that was there. They threw so many books that they used as bridges to go there. And then what happened? He said, that's terrible. But then what happened, subhanallah? The same soldiers that sacked the city became Muslims. You can sit and complain about it, but see, the idea is, addressing the issue that is taking place at this point should not blind you by making life look so bad in front of you. Subhanallah, some of us, we have that ability where nothing is good. And by the way, if you are that person, wallahi, it's not fun to be around you. Wallahi, I'm serious. There are some people who just cannot see anything good. Whenever you bring any subject, any person, anything, they will just rush into pointing out what is wrong. Wallahi, and I really mean it, if you are that person, wallahi, you are not fun to be around with. Because they just demoralize the... They have got no ability whatsoever to see what is good. What is wrong is so obvious. But what we want at this point is, let's speak about what is good. What is going right. You know sometimes how families, they sit together, especially with parents, they sit and they criticize their kids. You're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong, you're doing this, you got a C in math, you have a B in this, you could have gotten an A plus in this, you got an A minus, shame on you. And I mean, you can do this all the time, but how often do we talk about what is right? That's very healthy, by the way, sometimes, to address what is right, because we are so consumed by what is wrong, we forget to address what is right. Okay? And in the Quran, how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speak about the believers? He always speaks in positive terms. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ Successful are the believers. Or the believers have succeeded. Now wait a minute. The believers have succeeded, that is in the past tense. Isn't it? Shouldn't we saying, you know, سَيُفْلِحُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ The believers would succeed. The believers are going to succeed. But Allah, in a very decisive, emphatic term, He said, indeed, the believers have succeeded. This is how sure it is. And then he speaks about what really led them to success. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ They are the ones who humble themselves in prayer. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ And they are those who avoid vain talk. Vain talk, avoid vain talk. You know, subhanAllah, you look around, avoid vain talk. So you go by the cashier, and what do you see? You know, just speaking of vain talk. Oprah exceeds 400 pounds. How is that any of my business? She can be 900 pounds if she wants to. How is that any of my business? And then you see on the what's his name is getting divorced. I don't care. They can get a divorce if they want to. Or so-and-so is having an affair. Fine, they can have it. Why is that any of my business? But the people keep buying this. They keep being consumed by this. Celebrity justice, celebrity affairs, celebrity this and celebrity that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they are successful because they were not consumed by vain talk. And this is definitely part of the vain talk. Okay. But if anything that, you know, subhanAllah, that I would love for you to take out from this is, be optimistic. And by the way, subhanAllah, in all the characters that Islam has really recommended for us or made an obligation upon us, they can all be learned. Okay? So no one can say, well, you know, I was traumatized in my childhood and just that just killed everything in me and I'm not able to see anything. That is not accepted in Islam. With all due respect to whatever happened to you in your childhood. Okay? Or, you know, I just grew up in a very dysfunctional family and again, with all due respect, subhanAllah, the past is gone. But anyways, the idea is, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this character is good, it means that we have the ability of developing it. I'm not a patient man. Well, you can learn that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "As-sabru bit-tasabbur wal-hilmu bit-tahallum." So that you can be a sublime person if you train yourself to do so. And you can be a patient man if you train yourself to be so. And finally, remember the virtue of being, of having a good character. One time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was this companion, I'm not Ubad ibn Samit, but he said in the evening, he said, "Inshallah, tomorrow morning, I am going to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is the definition of righteousness and what is the definition of sin? What are they? You're told to avoid sin, you're told to be righteous. I just want to know what this is." So, Fajr prayers, he comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he goes to him. He said, the masjid was just full. And there was no access to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I just don't know how to get to him. So he starts pushing people, and people are saying, "Come on, sit down, you came in late." And he's just coming to the Prophet. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees him and he smiles. And he sits next to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What does Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? He says, In shi'ta, said, "If you wish, I can answer your question before you ask it. Or if you wish, you can ask the question and then I will answer it." The companion looked at him and said, "Prophet of Allah, I want you to answer it before I ask it." Said, "Ya Sa'sa'a," said, "Atayta, you came to ask us about righteousness and about sin." He said, "Who Allah is that, Ya Rasulullah?" I said, "By Allah, it is exactly what I came here to ask for." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-birru husn al-khuluq wal-ismu ma haka fi sadrika wa khashita an yattali'a alayhi an-nas." He said, righteousness is about good character, and sin is that which you are doubtful about in your heart and you are afraid that others may see you while you are involved in it. See this? But the beauty is that he said that righteousness, bir, righteousness, piety, he said, it's about good character. And that's how Islam always speaks of the rituals. The rituals in themselves are not really a goal. To pray is not a goal. To fast is not a goal. To give zakah is not a goal. These are means to make you a better person. But when people become very trivial, what happens is that their means end up being their goals. Our goal is to build a masjid. Big deal. Big deal. That's not what happens. We've got a beautiful skeleton, but no spirit in it. That's what most people do. We've got the beautiful skeleton, but there is no spirit of the masjid. You don't feel brotherhood when you come in. So what good is that? Because the masjid was not in itself a goal, rather it was a mean. Similarly, all the rituals that we do in themselves are not really goals, but rather they are means. And where do they lead? That character of a Muslim. And at this specific point, that character that we really, really need most is being able to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Things look bad. Let's not fool ourselves. You're not just going to be optimistic and hope for the best. No, we're going to be optimistic and we're going to work for that which will bring out that best. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ.
You've reached the conclusion of this CD. Take the opportunity to evaluate yourself by going to ilmquest.org, where you will find a short quiz on the content of this presentation. That's www.ilmquest.org. The presentation will continue on the next CD.